We're back on the broadcast record. It's 1:29 p.m. We've concluded the trade secret questions for Mr. Halama. Mr. Simms, are any other questions for this witness?
Just one redirect publicly, Your Honor. Is it fair to say that this Schedule 2 really tries to quantify the entire suite of cost savings to North Dakota customers that come from adding both Dakota Range 3 under the terms that we've proposed and the Google load?
Yes, one caveat I would just say is that it's, you know, incremental to the cost of adding Dakota Range 3. And so that part comes first, and then what this analysis shows is the incremental increase due to the load associated with Google.
So you mean this is incremental to the fuel cost savings that also occur?
Correct.
Okay. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Armstrong.
Nothing further.
Mr. Pelham.
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners. Commissioner Kocious.
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Nope.
Commissioner Christman.
Does your testimony change, you know, significantly at all or hinge upon ownership of Mankato, or is that a minimal factor in
the
numbers that play out?
None of my testimony hinges on Mankato. This is strictly related to Dakota Range and then the associated load with Google.
And the results would be similar.
The results of my analysis would be similar with Mankato or not Mankato?
Right.
I haven't run any other analysis associated with this, and so my analysis does not include or exclude Mankato.
Just a clarifying question. The assumption of Mankato owned is in all the resource planning models, so they cancel each other out, and it isolates the impacts of Dakota Range 3. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, my understanding is that Mankato is included in the analysis, but my analysis was focused strictly on the difference between Dakota and Dakota with load.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Armstrong.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham.
Nothing further.
Okay. I guess that's it for Mr. Halama.
We have nothing. Thank you, sir.
You can step down, sir. Thank you. Mr. Simms, sir.
The reserving the right to recall witnesses in rebuttal, the company rests its direct case.
Okay. Mr. Armstrong.
Called James Heidel.
Mr. Heidel, you were present in the room this morning when I gave the perjury admonition?
Yes, I was.
Okay. I'll ask you to raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this
proceeding?
Yes,
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. Are you the same James Heidel who filed pre-filed testimony in this case?
Yes, I am.
And if I were to ask you the same questions in that testimony as your pre-filed testimony indicates, if I were to ask you those same questions today, would you give the same answers?
Yes, I would.
Could you please summarize your testimony for the commission?
Yes. Good afternoon. I have developed the following recommendations on behalf of advocacy staff regarding NSP's request for an ADP for the 151.2 megawatt North Dakota 3 wind facility. My recommendation is to approve the ADP for the 12-year Dakota Range PPA subject to two conditions relative to the treatment of renewable energy credits. I note that while there are expected savings to North Dakota customers, the savings are relatively small, and as with most complex and long-term transactions, there are no guarantees of savings. While NSP's application and pre-filed testimony might lead one to conclude that this is a simple request to procure a 12-year PPA at an attractive price, the reality is more complex. The PPA was procured to satisfy the conditions of the Minnesota Retail Energy Service Agreement, RESA, with Google's proposed Becker data center. The RESA requires NSP to procure incremental renewable resources to serve the data center load. The development of the data center appears to be likely at this time, although it's not a certainty. However, the analysis reflected in the initial application does not reflect the expectation of the data center. I appreciate NSP's responsiveness in developing an additional analysis to model the impact of the combination of the PPA and a reasonable expectation of the data center's load. Based upon both the company and my analysis of the case of with and without the data center load, there are expected savings to North Dakota. The basis of these savings is complex, and even more so for the case including Google's data center load. Inclusion of the Google load increases the present value of revenue requirements for the system. However, the variable energy costs allocated to North Dakota customers would decrease because Minnesota is assigning a greater percentage of these costs based upon the energy sales allocation factor. However, additional complexity is introduced through the attribution of some of the savings to the capacity allocation factor. Incremental cost savings associated with the capacity allocation factor would be realized by North Dakota customers after a rate case and would not change between rate cases regardless of the data center load. For these reasons, I expect that NSP's calculations may overstate the allocation factor benefits. While there are expected savings from the PPA, I also include that North Dakota's customers are entitled to savings associated with the share of RECs created by the Dakota Range 3. NSP has requested the approval of the PPA as a system resource. As a system resource, North Dakota customers bear a proportional share of the costs and likewise should receive a proportional share of the RECs created. Furthermore, to the extent that NSP needs to procure additional RECs to meet the requirements of the retail contract, those costs should not be borne by North Dakota customers. As NSP notes, cost allocation to follow cost causation and direct assignment of costs is the preferable approach. In conclusion, I want to remind the Commission that there will be future issues related to the Google load. In the near future, I expect NSP to follow another ADP for additional wind being procured to meet the terms of the RESA. In the distant future, the Google load is likely to be on the system beyond the term of the PPA, and that additional resources will be needed to be procured. Thank you.
Mr. Heidel, have you listened to the testimony of the NSP witnesses during the hearing today?
Yes, I have.
Has that testimony changed your recommendations at all?
No, it has not.
And earlier in the hearing, Commissioner Christman asked Mr. Martin, I believe it was, whether your two recommendations were consistent with each other. Are they?
I believe the two recommendations are consistent. They both deal with the treatment of RECs for serving a retail load in Minnesota. So one case is the cost of procuring the how those RECs should be acquired and who should bear responsibility for those RECs.
And you believe that your two recommendations are consistent?
Yes, I do.
I tender Mr. Heidel for cross.
Okay, Mr. Simpson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, or good afternoon, Mr. Heidel. Good to see you again. I think just to cover a couple of items, you heard Ms. Shea testify this morning regarding how the demand allocator can impact rates and customer costs in between rate cases. Did that cause you any concern?
No, it didn't cause me any concern. If I recollect her testimony correctly, she pointed out that to the extent that there are over-earnings, the North Dakota customers may get some benefit, but there was no direct linkage between the demand allocation factor and the possibility of over-earnings.
Okay. Well, you are aware, so a couple of things. The first is you are aware the company files a transmission cost rider in North Dakota every year and also files a renewable energy standards rider in North Dakota every year?
Yes.
And that those riders, when they're annually filed, are updated for the then most recent allocation methodology?
I am not aware of the specifics of it.
Okay. Would it surprise you if that were the case?
It would not surprise me, although I would want to look at what specific costs are being updated.
Fair enough. And also, you are aware that the company files annual jurisdictional reports that identify their earnings on a jurisdictional basis?
Yes, I am.
And are you aware that those reports and those earnings are calculated based on the then most current demand allocation?
Yes.
Okay. And that would be how, to the extent there's a earning sharing mechanism, it would be that most recent allocator, not the one approved in a rate case, that generally would control.
For adjusting the earnings, but not necessarily. I do not see that as a one-for-one calculation to the exhibit that was just discussed.
Okay. Because rates aren't lowered or raised based on the allocator that customers are actually paying. Is that correct? Your point?
Okay.
But there is some at least recognition that as the demand allocator changes between rate cases, it can have a financial impact on ratepayers.
Yes, it can.
Okay. Sort of on the other end of the spectrum here, you've raised some concerns about what happens at the end of the term. You are aware of the length of the term of the electric service agreement with Google?
My understanding is it's a 10-year contract.
The initial term is a 10-year contract. That's correct. And without going into any trade secret information, it is public information that the contract has a provision for renegotiation at some point during that term, correct?
Yes, and there are some guidelines outlined in the contract.
But there's no requirement that either the company or Google agree to any renegotiated terms, only that they sit down and have those discussions.
That's true, but there are some terms in the contract that could guide at least the spirit of the discussions. I'll leave it to the lawyer to
Fair enough. But at the end of the day, there's no certainty that any renegotiation will ultimately occur.
I'm not sure about that. Can I look at the contract?
Absolutely. I think it's Article 2.
Right. Article 3.2.
Yeah, 3.2.
On page 10. And I am reading from the in the public version of the contract. I guess I would just point out, and again, this isn't saying that there's a problem. This is just wanting to point out to the commission that under the good faith obligations, Article D says the interest of both parties provide continued rate reduction to the customers under this CRRA, and I realize that rates are not a subject of this commission, and I believe there is also in here a recognition of the obligation to serve.
And in recognition of that obligation to serve, if the parties don't negotiate an outcome, there's no other outcome except for Google walking away from their investment or for them to take service under a tariff, under non-discriminatory rates, correct? So it's possible that they become like any other load at the end of the term.
I suppose that's a possibility, but I will leave that to the lawyers.
Fair enough. All I'm trying to say is that at the end of the term, it would be fair to characterize a potential outcome as they become a regular customer, just like it would be fair to characterize a potential outcome that there's some negotiation in the middle of the term of which we don't know the outcome.
I think it's fair to say there's uncertainty.
Okay. You address two conditions. One, that North Dakota customers should be allocated the RECs from Dakota Range 3, correct?
That's correct.
And if I'm reading your testimony correctly, fundamentally it's just because the company is proposing this as a system resource, correct?
It's consistency with other system resources, yes.
And there's no other underlying facts or differences from this proceeding than any other system resource that the company may bring to the table?
I'm trying to understand the full implications of what you say. Can you repeat that
sure.
one more time?
Well, I'll rephrase the question a little bit. You've testified as an expert on behalf of the commission on several occasions for at least advanced determinations of prudence. And generally, those are a proposition by the company to say they're bringing on a particular resource. And the resource itself is analyzed in the context of the system generally, correct?
That's correct.
And in our initial application here, NSP has actually tied this resource to a particular economic development project. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And those two things are different in character, no?
Yes, that makes this application unique.
And in fact, in discovery and in your testimony, and in fact in your opening statement, one of the issues you raised with respect to the company's initial analysis was that it neglected to analyze the impact of this additional load as part of this proceeding. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so even your analysis recognizes that this is not just an ADP for a particular resource, although it can be viewed as such, but it's really an ADP for a different value proposition altogether.
So I'm not sure I characterize it exactly like that. My concern about not including the Google load is that the company did what looked like a very good analysis of what are the benefits of just adding the wind resource. My concern is that in 3 or 4 years, the commission looks at it and goes like, well, where are those particular dollars? And that is a scenario that, could occur, but it seems more likely that the Google load will come on the system and we get a scenario maybe like what was remodeled. We don't know what the load will be. And so the reason I tie them together is not because I say that as a matter of legal standard, how the commission reviews this should be different than any other resource, but that I want the commission to understand what are the likely impacts on North Dakota customers. Because quite frankly, I didn't know until the company did the supplemental analysis.
And based on this analysis, on the supplemental analysis, we're still seeing cost savings to all customers on the system, including in North Dakota, even when you include the Google load. Is that
fair? Correct, and that's okay. Why I recommend it.
And at the end of the day, it's fair to say that the company's view is that this is a different value proposition than sort of a normal ADP, and you can agree with that.
That's clearly appears to me what the company's been saying today.
Now, with respect to allocating the RECs to North Dakota, would you believe it to be fair if the shoe was on the other foot? And by that I mean if this project was located in North Dakota, or if a future project was located in North Dakota and had similar sourcing requirements, and this commission were to impose this condition, do you think it would be fair for the Minnesota Commission to impose a similar condition in the future?
Well, what the Minnesota Commission would do, I'm not sure, but I think what was brought up as a fair point this morning is that it can go both ways, that North Dakota could be in the position of attracting a load with requires a large amount of RECs, and there is the risk that if my recommendation is implemented, that North Dakota would have to procure a lot of RECs.
And
it goes both ways.
And if it goes both ways, it doesn't go both ways proportionally. I think Mr. Martin testified that it was a rather small amount of dollars, 6% of the overall RECs-ish from Dakota Range 3. But if the shoe was on the other foot, or if it could go both ways, wouldn't for a North Dakota economic development project, the company have to procure almost 75 or 85% of the RECs?
That math is correct.
And so that would be a big that could potentially be an impediment to economic development here in the state.
It potentially could, but I think that there's the hypotheticals in that, as you said, how someone has to procure these RECs, and as Mr. Martin noted, RECs don't cost a lot.
And I think that's reasonable, Mr. Heidel. And we also talked about the condition you had with respect to the cover RECs, that those should be direct assigned to the load who's causing them, correct? What's the basis of that understanding?
The basis is that these RECs are being procured to satisfy a retail contract. It has nothing to do with wholesale system power or power procurement. And it strikes me that the
cost of serving customers where they can be, you know, just as the distribution cost in Minnesota is directly assigned to Minnesota and North Dakota's share is, the cost of meeting retail customers in Minnesota should be directly assigned to Minnesota and likewise for North Dakota. So it's direct assignment of cost.
And you've read the record in our flexibility with respect to meeting these obligations, and the company has testified that it's likely a moot point because the cost of CoverX would be zero. Have you done any analysis on your end to confirm or deny that outcome?
I don't remember the company saying that it was moot because the cost of Rex would be zero, actually. I do remember them saying it would be moot. I think that the cost is likely to be small. Personally, my view is Rex are not going to become more valuable on the MISO system.
Okay. And if the company were to say that they would propose to use pre-existing RECs as those cover RECs, so there would be no need to procure any cover RECs in the future, would that help you understand why the company believes it's a moot point?
So where I was going is, let's say hypothetically, 6% of the RECs are assigned to North Dakota. If you had to assign those 6%, then you would have to make up those 6% somehow because you'd have to have incremental RECs.
And if the company would, under the ESA, if the company were be able to meet those obligations with only pre-existing RECs that had already been allocated to Minnesota, would then that moot your point?
Well, I think about acquiring the RECs, but there's still a value. So, and maybe I'm not speaking for North Dakota advocacy staff, but I don't think for North Dakota customers, the customers care whether you give the 6% RECs those specific RECs from an existing resource or an incremental resource. So to the extent that they come from an existing resource and that's monetized and give to North Dakota customers, I think that solves the problem as well.
No, I'm talking about the cover RECs. I'm not talking about the sort of RECs used to retire to meet our incremental new obligation.
Well, my point is that if the issue is finding RECs, I don't think that's an issue. If the issue is the cost, the value of those RECs, then that is an issue. However, I would say that, you know, just as the as we all know that the Google data center load's uncertain, there is a hypothetical where the load is in excess of the expected generation that the company is procuring. And therefore, the company would then have to procure additional incremental RECs. So it's also a protection to North Dakota customers that the Google load is higher than what the company is currently planning for with the new wind resources.
And under your proposal, the savings that are available to North Dakota customers, those should accrue even with these additional protections to North Dakota customers that you're asking for? In other words, what I'm saying is, what the company has presented is its view of the benefit of the bargain, and you don't believe that benefit of the bargain is appropriate?
I think that the arguments to the benefit of the bargain are bringing a whole new set of issues to the allocation of costs between the jurisdictions, that currently the power costs are being allocated based upon energy and capacity, cost of service. We have rules for energy and capacity, and nowhere that I'm aware of in the cost of service are we allocating benefits or changing the allocation of costs based upon a benefit that a particular customer might add or a cost that a particular customer might add. So I think that the company is going into a very different direction of saying that we're not going to just allocate costs. We're going to also consider benefits. Now, this commission may want to go in that direction, or there may be benefits, but it strikes me as a sort of a major change in policy.
Well, would you agree that the addition of the load brings benefits to the system, regardless of where it's located, so long as it covers its incremental costs?
In this particular cost, in this particular case, we expect it, you know, based upon our expectation of what it's going to actually cost to serve the Google load, my conclusion is it brings benefits.
And if the Google load doesn't show up, bringing Dakota Range 3 to the system will provide benefits?
Yes, it's a low-cost resource.
And if the Google load shows up at less than expected, the Dakota Range 3 PPA will bring more benefits, although the Google load will bring less benefits?
It brings more benefits, assuming that we always have the same forecast of what it costs to actually serve the Google load. I mean, the two are independent, but we don't really know what it's going to cost to serve the Google load. We know what it costs for the PPA, but we don't know what it's going to cost to serve the load.
There's analysis on the record that has a rough approximation.
It is a scenario of the future.
And it was a scenario that advocacy staff agreed to with the company, that that would be the one we'd enter into the record?
Oh, absolutely. My point is only that it's not a guarantee. It's, you know, none of us in this room can predict what power costs are going to be in 8 years. But we, the company and advocacy staff, had an agreement as to how we'd model it. But I just wanted to make it clear that, it's not a certainty.
Okay. Nothing further.
Okay. Mr. Pelham.
So, Mr. Heidel, if we're really not fighting over a lot of money, what are we fighting over as to your two recommendations, in your opinion?
I believe the morning discussion of describing it as precedent is one of the things that we're fighting over. It's not a lot of money, but again, it's we're going to reduce power costs for North Dakota customers little steps at a time.
So precedent in terms of future potential development, what do you, can you be more specific as to your view of precedential effect of a decision here?
Precedent in terms of how we deal with new resources coming onto the system and the allocation of cost and the allocation of the attributes of those resources.
Sir, would you still find ADP, grant of ADP appropriate, or still recommend ADP being granted if your two recommendations were removed?
Well, I suppose if the recommendations were removed, I would also say that I would think the commission would have another bite at the apple in a rate case. So I'd be okay with it. If there was silence, I'd be okay with it, because the commission could always address that issue later.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I don't have any other questions for you.
Okay, commissioners. Commissioner Crosius.
Following up on that, why not just address this in the next rate case? Even if the two exceptions you're requesting were granted?
I have not worked on a North Dakota rate case. I've worked on rate cases in other jurisdictions, and there's always limited time in a rate case, and it seems like this would be could potentially divert attention from more important issues in the next rate case.
Do you think NSP is unduly influenced by Minnesota renewable energy objectives and requirements? And no fault of their own, I'll add, but they have to play by the rules that are put forth in front of them for the various states.
Well, I hate to wander too far afield. I think that the the recent IRP and the direction of Excel and NSP illustrate a company that's very much focused on renewable resources that go beyond the Minnesota statute. And so I won't comment on the motivations or speculate on, I should say.
Do you, when you look at the impact that all these additional renewable resource additions, the pressure it's putting on existing facilities, early retirements, and you factor in the cost to the ratepayer for accelerated depreciation, new transmission that may not be needed otherwise, MVP projects, I think, would be an argument in some cases. Does it still make sense from a ratepayer standpoint? And just cutting to the chase, we constantly hear about, well, it's a least cost resource, it's going to lower cost. Well, this project's going to lower cost, and yet utility bills don't decrease.
So to directly answer your question, I have not done those calculations for what would happen to North Dakota rates. In my testimony, so I looked at it from sort of a larger macro question, and that is if wind is so cheap, why doesn't people just keep building wind? And so, why should market prices be higher than the cost of wind? And so we did that. I presented a scenario where we looked at essentially building out to a 40% renewable all across MISO, and that lowered market prices about 40%. Now, I should say Dakota Range 3 still made sense in that scenario, but if the world is moving towards a lot more renewables, the costs could be, not only would the market costs be lower and the potential savings be lower for this for the wind project, but as you say, there could be other costs that aren't factored in, and I would say, not a criticism of the company's modeling, but neither strategist nor the Aurora modeling that I did look at the system stability issues and the potential cost of that. So at some point, if you had a system of 90% renewables, you reach some type of a breaking point. You have to do something. But where we are today, it seems like it's a concern, but not a limiting factor.
Do you think granting approval would provide more or less flexibility for the commission going forward?
I don't think it would limit the flexibility of the commission. I think, in thinking about it a little bit more, if the commission is concerned about being limited, it might make sense to make it clear that this is only applies for this particular asset, and it's not setting any precedent for other requirements being set, that may occur out of Google. As the exchange with my exchange with the company is, we don't know what's going to happen in the future.
I think you already answered the next question, but just to hone in, at what point do we? You had said 90% would be too much in all likelihood at this point in time, given all the other knowns. But at what point does the system become overbuilt on renewables? Is it a third? Is it 50%?
I don't think it's based upon the studies that I've seen, I don't think it's a third. I mean, I actually believe MISO Region 1 is at about 65 or 70% renewables already. So we have in Region 1, we already have a very high aspect of part of renewables. So I don't know the number, but it's higher than 30%, and I'd say it's lower than 90%.
Okay.
I left you a big range in between. I'm sorry.
More than 50%?
Leaves me room.
That's a big range. So. Do you have, maybe this is more from, do you believe it presents a conflict of interest, the fact that the land to be, that would be used to build the facility, the Google facility, is owned by the company?
Well, I don't think it's a conflict of interest. As long as the land is viewed as excess land and not needed, and as the company agreed that as long as North Dakota gets a share, as long as it's transferred at a fair market price and North Dakota gets its proportional share, I don't think it's a conflict of interest.
Do you think the company sweetened the deal, so to speak, to help facilitate the sale?
I didn't actually look at the land cost, acquisition cost, so I don't know.
And I don't know that that's been determined, and if it were, we probably wouldn't.
I suspect that's a small cost in the grand scheme of the whole deal.
Yeah. Okay, no other questions for me at this time. Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Mr. Heidel. Do you think that this is a dangerous precedent? You said that this is an important policy consideration because we're not just allocating the costs but also allocating benefits. Is that, help me understand what are the dangers of that and going down that path, and what do we need to be sensitive to?
Well, if the next contract created a lot of benefits, does that mean that you should allocate none of the resource costs associated with it? That you're offsetting the cost of resources. So where are you stopping? Are you stopping at just the value of the RECs, or do you also reduce the cost of the resource that you're going to allocate to Minnesota? Mm-hmm. I don't know where the precedent stops.
Was there a different way that the company could have approached this to get Google their RECs without just taking them directly from the RECs generated from this project? Because what they want is to be able to say that, their whatever total annual energy needs are covered by renewable energy.
Right. So, again, I was not party to the negotiations, so I don't want to speculate on what the company could do. But my understanding from the contract is that the company has to procure incremental RECs. Those RECs don't have to come from Dakota Range 3. They have to come from an incremental resource. I assume that's part of Google's branding and marketing, that they want to say that our energy is 100% clean.
Mm-hmm.
I expect that's probably important to them.
But to avoid setting a precedent here, there would be other ways to do that.
Well, I think the contract is, I think the electric service agreement is fairly clear about that it has to be incremental renewable resources. So Dakota Range 3 is not the only, is there anything philosophically from stopping the company from going out to a developer who's developing a merchant wind resource in MISO and saying, I want to buy your RECs? I'll leave it to the company, but I think that would still be an incremental REC.
Mm-hmm. Could they have said, well, we've got this precedent where we allocate the RECs from projects that are system-wide. That's what we do here. So we really can't give you these RECs, but we could, you guys could include in the cost the purchase of some RECs to, add to the contract cost or whatever, if they're that cheap. I mean, couldn't have there been some other approaches?
Well, I think, from a North Dakota perspective, is you want a share of those recs. I would think that North Dakota would be indifferent as to whether those recs were specific. You know, if the company wanted to swap out other recs that are, you know, can be sold for the same market value, but not classified as incremental recs by Google, I think North Dakota customers would be whole, wouldn't really care where they came from.
Okay, I think that's it for me. Thanks.
Commissioner Christman.
I sure didn't highlight it if you did, but have you provided a publicly disclosed estimate of the value of each of your recommendations?
We did not put that in the testimony. Mr. Martin, non-confidentially, said the company's value was at 50 cents. I realize they're in the market. I put the value actually at 60 cents. So I think my number is at 23,000-24,000 a year. So not a lot more. We're not talking. Our difference in value is not millions of dollars.
That's for both recommendations combined, or?
Well,
the second one wouldn't have any unless it.
The second one's a hypothetical as to, we don't know what the Google, what actually would be required to satisfy the terms of the service agreement.
So I know you've addressed it. The company's addressed it. I'm still not understanding. I look at your two recommendations, and I'm just going to state them how I feel, and then you explain where I'm not understanding it right, if that's the way you believe. The first one is that our customers receive the compensation for North Dakota's proportionate share of the RECs because this is a system addition, and that's the way we have done things in the past, is that North Dakota consumers get that share. The second one is that if they would have to purchase RECs, that North Dakota consumers should not have to participate in that, which to me suggests, because it's really something being done specific for this case, it's not a system-wide thing. And so to me, those two seem to conflict. And take one more shot at explaining why you disagree.
I don't think they conflict in the sense that if you were specifically to say, I need 6% of the RECs from Dakota Range 3, in other words, on one scenario you go, I need the value of 6% of the RECs, and I don't really care where they come from. But if you say, I need 6% of the RECs from Dakota Range 3, then the company, all else being equal, is 6% short of incremental RECs that they need to satisfy the Google contract. So they would have to go out and procure that 6%. So that's, to me, is the link between the two. And then the other thing, which is a less of a direct link, as I said, is that we really don't know how many incremental RECs the Google contract will require, because we don't know the load. I mean, we could have a lot extra incremental RECs, and we could be short. The odds that we're exactly right is probably pretty slim.
As I understood Mr. Simpson's discussion and yours back and forth, he made the case that this is a different value proposition from previous ADPs because it's tied to a specific economic development project. Is that how you would assess his point?
No, actually, I was struggling that, and again, not trying to be the lawyer, because I'm not a lawyer, that the resources being added, what is different is that the economic benefit, normally when I've looked at the 1550 and then looked at the 300 for Dakota Range, sort of what we presented, just adding the resource, were sort of, these are the expectation of benefits. My point here is that if you just look at this this wind acquisition, the expected benefits are not what just comes from just having the acquiring that wind, because the expectation is that you're also going to have the load. So what comes out the other end is very, so this is a very different application because we're adding load with it, and none of the other applications was a resource associated with a specific load.
And then,
and my apologies if I'm left you still confused.
No, I just have one more point where I am confused. It's a different topic, though. Page 21 of your original testimony.
Yes.
For if doing a forecast on a commodity that's been so volatile over the past 50 years, why do you only go back 8 or 9 years, which is maybe some of the most stable prices of natural gas over the course of a decade out of the last 40 or 50 years? Wouldn't it have been more valuable to have a longer range look back?
Well, we certainly can. I think if you start getting before, if I got this right, about 2007 or so, fracking changed the whole world. So you have a totally different world. So I guess I'd be a little more concerned about going back further than that. So I think we have a different world now in natural gas. Right? We have regions of the country where we're flaring gas because no one will buy it. There's not enough pipeline capacity. And we have regions of the country where gas is very expensive because there's no pipelines to get it there. So there's just a lot going on in the market.
Did CO2 regulations change the world and in other industries?
Certainly could.
So fracking regulations could change the world back again to natural gas, potentially?
Certainly. I think there are a lot of environmentalists who would like that to happen.
No other questions. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. Mr. Heidel, I have some follow-up with you. So you conducted an analysis of the cost savings for the Dakota Range 3 with and without the Google load. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Which one provided more benefits to North Dakota customers, with or without the Google load?
So without adding the discussion of the other transmission benefits, and A&G benefits, I believe it was that without the Google load adds more benefits.
Yeah, and without the Google load, the RECs in that case, what you just answered to was without the RECs even, without even considering RECs.
Correct? That's correct.
And in that case, it was better for North Dakota customers without the Google load. And in that case, those RECs would have been passed along to North Dakota customers consistent with past practice, which was being sold annually with the proceeds to North Dakota customers, okay?
That's correct.
And then with the Google load, which provided less cost savings to customers, not only is that less beneficial than no Google load, it keeps the RECs for Google, and then North Dakotans could be exposed to pay for RECs in the future.
That's true, but again, I just want to clarify that I have not taken account the A&G and transmission that Mr. Allen has testified to.
Okay. Well, how much do you think that would change your answers you just gave?
Well, we have the probably not a lot, but we have the answer on that exhibit of the additional benefits. So while I can't say the number, I believe it was in the third section that we...
That was something that came up in the Mr. Halama's testimony.
Correct? That's correct.
Okay. But every PPA or ADP always has some different characteristics to it. Is that fair to say?
Yes, they do.
And this one just happens to be that it's designed to serve a Google load.
That would be the unique characteristic of this one, yes.
And it's a big load, right?
As the company has said, it has the potential to be their biggest load on the system.
And with that, there's always going to be some different factors, but never before have RECs been anything different than attributed to North Dakota customers and paid back. Is that correct?
My understanding is that the allocation of RECs has always followed the allocation of energy.
And the Google project itself is it's a Minnesota development project.
It is a Minnesota project.
And to the extent it provides benefit to North Dakota customers, it's in the allocator shift.
That's right. The revenue requirements go up, but it's the allocation switch, that allocation that results in savings.
And otherwise, other than that, it's just low cost of fuel.
Yes.
That's all the questions I have.
Okay, Mr. Sessler.
Very briefly, Mr. Heidel. Without the Google, is it your understanding that without the Google project, the company would have entered into the Dakota Range 3, that one is driving the need for the other?
I'm sorry, would or would not have?
Would not have.
That was the testimony I heard this morning.
If, let's assume, just for instance, that Dakota Range 3 wasn't a renewable energy project and it didn't have any RECs associated with it, it would still be cost-effective to add to the system, would it not?
At the price, at that same price, yes.
And we wouldn't be having this discussion even if Google was spurring the need for it. Is that correct?
If there were no RECs, we would not be having this discussion.
All right. And under your proposal, essentially, if North Dakota gets 6% of the incremental RECs, then it would make sense that we need to get 12% more megawatts on the system to sort of cover up that shortfall?
That would be one option. The other option is just to buy the RECs from another new wind facility.
Will you take my word for it that the Google ESA doesn't allow that, that it requires it to be steel in the ground? I can show you the definition if you prefer.
So I will take you I guess before I take your word for it, I just want to, my qualification is that if a merchant developer builds Dakota Range 4, I had read the contract, and it's a new resource, that Dakota Range 4 would be incremental RECs.
That's correct, so long as the offtake of the energy comes with it.
That's sort of an interesting – I will leave that to you in that I would say that the contract is – the wording in 5.2 is in terms of – says acquiring RECs to cover an equivalent amount of energy.
I'm from incremental new generation, correct?
From incremental new generation.
And the definition of incremental new generation?
Well, as we said, it could be a whole range of things.
Yes, okay. All I'm trying to say is, do you believe your conditions ultimately change the underlying economics of the transaction that the company entered into?
I believe it would be it would make sense for NSP to go ahead with it either way.
Just to make sure we're all on the same page, the company can't recover the cost of Dakota Range 3 without an ADP. Are you aware of that?
I guess my understanding is that it wouldn't go through the adjustment clause without an ADP. I don't know whether you could defer the cost to recover in a rate case or not.
If we were to wait for a rate case for an answer, would you support putting those costs of the PPA while it's in service in a deferral until the next rate case?
Well, I think I'd have to ask advocacy staff. I think I'd be making a recommendation for my client that I may not be authorized to make.
If without that deferral and without an ADP, the company would not be able to recover the cost of the PPA until a rate case or some other proceeding to do that.
Is
that fair?
That's my understanding.
Okay. And so during that point in time, North Dakota customers will not be paying for Dakota Range 3?
They would not be paying directly for North Dakota Range 3, but I believe that there's some precedent for how substitutes for disputed resources are treated in the fuel adjustment. Okay. So to say that they're not, they wouldn't be directly paying, but to say that it's not just, it's not free either.
Essentially, if I'm understanding your recommendations correct, you're asking the commission, even if they were to say it's not precedential, that but for this actual transaction, they should impose these conditions that are on a transaction that is the first major economic development project the company has brought to this commission or any commission in, from my understanding, 30 years. Is that fair?
That's my recommendation.
And do you think it's worthwhile to set that precedent today?
I think it's setting any precedent has implications, but not requiring payment also sets a precedent. So the choice isn't between setting a precedent and not setting a precedent. Ultimately, the commission has to decide between what precedent they want to set.
And how that precedent may impact future economic development transactions and how the company may structure the next deal or deal with resource allocations, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing further.
Okay. Spellum.
Nothing further. Thank you.
All right. Commissioners. Commissioner Crocius.
I just want to, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you had talked about natural gas pricing. And with the advent of fracking, or fracking actually has been around a lot longer than the last decade, but this a more sophisticated, more effective process, would you describe that as the new normal in terms of how it will influence pricing going forward versus trying to look at historic data?
There's always uncertainty. We, at PA, we do a fundamental forecast of natural gas prices, and we assume, you know, horizontal drilling and these fracking technologies. So we assume it as the new normal in our base case world.
Okay, and this is a little off track, but I just want to ask this anyway. If fracking were to come under pressure from environmental groups, and it ceased to exist, or fracking was no longer a thing, would it also be safe to say that it would cripple the oil industry in North Dakota? Knowing the vast majority of our production now comes from horizontal drilling and not vertical wells.
So where I was struggling is, one is speculating about the industry in North Dakota, but the other thing is my understanding is that they're using the technology to drill for oil, not for natural gas.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right. And it's associated gas that's coming off of the wellhead. That's not the target species, if you will.
That's correct.
One last question. When we're talking about this as an economic development project and how this commission looks at it, and just to be candid, this project isn't on North Dakota soil. Why would we care?
Well, I think there are two reasons. One is that this particular contract, even though it's in Minnesota, is, you know, under expected cases, is bringing lower costs to North Dakota. You know, that may not all, I mean, there is a possibility that you could have a contract that is beneficial to Minnesota that's not beneficial to North Dakota, but in this case, the contract's benefit. So that's why you care. And I think that the company raises a point that to the extent that you believe that the policy might impact economic development in North Dakota, then, you know, that's, you should consider that.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Okay, Commissioner Fedorchik. Mr. Christman.
It was a softball of the day that you shouldn't have to look at your notes, but whenever I've wondered this, I've not been in a position to Google it, I guess. But where's Tufts University?
It's in Medford, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston.
Okay, thank you.
I knew that one.
All right. Mr. Armstrong.
No further questions.
Anything else for this witness?
No.
Okay, you may step down, Mr. Heidel. Mr. Armstrong.
Advocacy staff rests.
Okay. Mr. Pelham.
We have nothing. Thank you.
Okay. Back to you, Mr. Simpson.
We don't want to recall any witnesses, so we rest.
Okay. Before we go any further, I want to make sure we have these signed protective agreements from the people on this side of the room and the commissioner, commissioners. There are blank forms in the back of the room. Somebody wants to pass those around. And there's no one here from the public that I can see. There's been no indication of anybody here wanting to add anything to this proceeding. So any closing comments for the record from counsel, Mr. Simpson?
No closing. I think you've heard a good discussion today on the different nature and character of this transaction and why it provides benefits to everybody. And I think we look forward to working with the commission to bring this one to yes.
Okay, Mr. Armstrong.
I have no closing comments.
Mr. Pelham.
Nothing. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioners, closing remarks. We'll start with Commissioner Crocious, Chairman.
Well, thank you for being here and for enduring a number of different questions, which I'm sure become fodder for great conversation while you're waiting for your flight. But this is really an interesting case. It has some, as mentioned earlier, some very unique elements to it. So it's going to require some additional work, at least for me, to sit down and work with staff and get some other questions and whatnot answered or clarifications. So I better understand everything. But it's indicative of how the landscape continues to change, and that presents its own challenge in terms of making sure that ratepayers at the residential level ultimately are being taken care of and looked out for, not just becoming an afterthought of what's happening between a business-to-business, corporation-to-corporation transaction. So, again, thank you for being here, and we will, I guess we're going to see you all again tomorrow morning, bright and early, and I hope there aren't any thunderstorms that cause me to have caramel apple pie and ice cream at 3 in the morning. Not that I did. I might have. Or maybe I do. So thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchik.
Thanks, everybody. This, you know, it's a pretty straightforward case, but for those pesky wrecks. And so I think we'll just have to figure out how we want to deal with that. And it's not a large dollar amount, but it does send a signal. And I want to make sure that we've thought through that and can do that in a way that doesn't position us in a place of compromising things down the road. So otherwise, thank you very much. The information was good and clear, and the discussion was really easy today. Thank you.
Commissioner Christman.
Nothing more to add. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Counsel, late filed exhibits.
I have 3 late filed exhibits, Your Honor, on my list. Identification of the transmission upgrades necessary for Dakota Range 3, a breakdown of the proportion of system versus MISO purchases that are displaced by Dakota Range 3, and a chart identifying the amount of energy displaced by Dakota Range 3.
Mr. Armstrong, does that meet with your recollection? We can sort out the details after off the record.
I wasn't thinking of anything else specific.
Okay. Mr. Pelham?
That's in line with what I had, too. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And 2 weeks?
We would propose 2 weeks for the late filed exhibits as well as 2 weeks for proposed order, so we can just get those through the door.
All right. Sounds good. And at this time, assuming there's nothing further for the record, 2:34 p.m., we'll close the hearing, solid hearing of, we'll close the hearing on case number PU-18-430 at 2:37 p.m. It's closed subject to the filing of late filed exhibits.
Thank you.
Thank you.